Hello and welcome to yet another edition of Beyond the Pod. I am Brandon Molesky, Pat Micheletti, former Golden Gopher, great with me. And Beyond the Pod is brought to you by Culturama and SodaStick.com. You can get free shipping by using the code KFAN at SodaStick.com. And Pat, it's starting to feel like hockey weather here in Minnesota.
I went outside this morning, Brandon, and the first time I've worn a sweatshirt, yes, and sweats, by the way. So it is getting... it's getting that time of the year.
All right. We're now joined by the NHL prospects writer for The Athletic, Corey Pronman. And wanted to have Corey on because, Pat, the Minnesota Wild, we have some prospects that we finally are expecting to arrive here on the scene soon. And, of course, they have a number 9 overall draft pick. So thought it'd be a good time to have Corey on, who does a great job covering all the NHL prospects for The Athletic and TheAthletic.com. And, Corey, before we actually get into the nuts and bolts of – Wild prospects and kind of the top 10 of the NHL draft, I wanted to ask you how you got into your role, because I have to imagine being able to cover every single prospect in the entire world from multiple different leagues. You have to talk to, I'm sure, executives and coaches. I can't imagine how much work that is. How in the heck do you put all this together?
Yeah, it's really about being efficient. You kind of have to know how to, you know, how to use your time and in terms of which players you need to watch, and as well, having a pretty good network of sources to direct you to the right players or help you understand some players that you may only have limited time to watch yourself. I mean, you know, for example, like the Minnesota Elite League is gonna start soon. I know some of those players. I've seen them, like say like Luke Mittelstadt before, but I don't know him intricately. So having some people I know who know that player very well helps me kind of fill those gaps a little bit. But as well, it just comes with just, you know, it's a, I think anybody who works in these fields, whether kind of like Keith Law at our site or other sports, or you know, you just have to work really hard and be as efficient as you can.
Yeah, I mean it's amazing the work you do. By the way, congratulations! It's you know, I mean I happen to see a lot of players, you know, in the American League because I do the Iowa Wild games and college games, which I also do and cover, but you know, to have, you know, the in-depth analysis that you have on all of these players is, it's incredible because, you know, I mean, I have to refresh my memory. Yeah. What about, you know, Jerry Mayhew, for example, and, you know, his strengths, weaknesses, and, you know, can he get to that next level? The work you do is phenomenal.
Yeah, no, appreciate it. And I definitely did see it. I remember watching Mayhew not too long ago, back when we used to go to games.
Right.
All right, Corey, let's talk about the other Wild prospects, because we have a big one that was number 1 on your organizational rankings, which you had the Wild 15th, which is an improvement for them over the last 5, 6, 7 years. So at least they've got the cupboard up to 15th. But let's talk about the number 1 guy who we're expecting to play for the Minnesota Wild this season. We've been waiting for 5 years for him, Kirill Kaprizov from Russia in the KHL. I think most of us are convinced he'll at least be a top 6 forward, but this organization has been starving for a superstar. Do you see superstar potential out of Kaprizov? And if not, what do you think would be what would be holding him back to getting to that level?
Yeah, I think maybe like, I guess if you define superstar, like are we talking like, you know, a guy who could be as good as, say, Artemi Panarin has been for the Rangers, who was, sure, a hard candidate this year. I think that may be somewhat unrealistic expectation to put on the guy based on, you know, just what I've seen of him over the last 5, 6 years. I think he's a great player. I think, you know, if you told me next year he scored 25, 30 goals for Minnesota Wild, which, you know, without looking at their box scores, I would imagine would have been like first on their team in those totals. You know, that's going to be, I think that's a perfectly realistic expectation. I think he could be a legitimate first line forward in the National Hockey League. I think that because he's really skilled and intelligent, and he's a really competitive player. And while he's not that big, and I think he's a great skater, I wouldn't say he's an elite speed for a small guy, but he does skate really well. So I think there's a lot of factors there that's going to translate. And he showed up versus men for several years. I mean, you know, the Red Army team was the best team in the KHL the last 2 years, and he was the best player on that team. You're talking about a guy who I think is going to be able to translate to the NHL at a high level. The superstar level, I don't want to say it's impossible, because I think there's a lot of variables in his way that if things go really, really well and he translates to the NHL extremely well, I think it's possible. But I would not say, from what I've seen, given that he's not elite skater for that size. I wouldn't say that's a realistic projection for him.
All right, let me see if I can frame this question correctly. And there's one guy I want to talk about that is signed with the KHL, Kovanov. Who had a terrific year in the Quebec League, was terrific in the World Juniors. And, you know, to, you know, what you said about him, you know, I've heard the same thing. You know, is his skating going to be good enough to, you know, to play at a high level in the NHL? Now, my question is, you know, we can get to Kovanov, but do you think sometimes these scouts put a little bit too much emphasis on speed? And I say that because I look at a guy like Joe Pavelski, right?
Sure.
And it's probably slowed down a little bit, but yet very smart, still knows how to get the job done. And, you know, I hate to compare someone to Joe Pavelski in his career, but
sure.
I think maybe sometimes we put a little bit too much emphasis on the speed part of it.
I think I've done this myself. I did an article in the spring where I pulled a bunch of NHL scouts and I asked them, what do you think are the most overrated aspects of evaluation? The first thing they said would be size, and the second thing they said would be skating. So I think there is a pool of people who agree with that assertion. That said, though, if you look at how the NHL draft went last year and how it's probably going to go this year, the guys who are going to go in the top 15, 20 are all going to be strong skaters. And the guys who are going to go in the middle to late rounds who are going to be highly skilled players are going to probably be undersized guys or guys who are average skaters. That just tends to be how things go. It's why Kovanov was a third-round pick. On top of the fact that he had health issues in his draft year, it was the skating was the concern. It's the same reason Adam Beckman also went in the third round because he was an average skater. You look at Kovanov right now, he's out over in the KHL right now, and he's kind of playing really limited minutes in the first week or so. And I think the speed and the physicality of the league is going to be an adjustment for him. And we'll see how the rest of the season goes. If he gets a bigger role, which I think he will as the season progresses there for Kazan. I do really like the player, though, because of the skill and the hockey sense and the shot. And I think he's really competitive, too. He's small, but he's a really high character kid. I think he's going to have an NHL future. When it comes to something like the speed or the skating aspect, that's the kind of thing where it's hard. You kind of are making bets. You're making bets by watching him. That seems it's going to be harder for him to play in the NHL. Doesn't mean he won't be able to be a good player in the NHL, but that's one of those things where you won't know until he gets there, and you'll see whether he can make those same highly skilled plays when he's playing against, you know, 6'2", 6'3", guys who can fly.
All right, let's talk about who you had number two in the Wilds organization. For your prospect rankings, that would be Matthew Boldy. Was the first round draft pick last year. I know there were many Wild fans that were disappointed that they didn't draft Cole Caulfield and went with Boldy instead, but I think both projected to be good NHL players. But well chronicled that he maybe struggled a little bit first half of the season in Boston College and picked it up the second half. Did you get the chance to see any Boston College games last year, and what did you think of his first year at that level?
I saw quite a lot of Boston College last year because they had so much talent between him and Alex Newhook and others on that team. I saw him live in the first and the second half. I thought he was excellent almost every time I watched him. Even in that first half where he wasn't really scoring that much, I thought he looked excellent. And I think, you know, probably at this time last year, I probably would have agreed. I thought, you know, I would have preferred Cole Caulfield to Matt Boldy, I think, a year later. And I think, you know, I might have some mild preferences still to Cole, but I think the gap is kind of close. I think Boldy's an excellent, excellent player. I think he's a dynamic, skill kind of type of player, just elite hands, tremendous hockey sense, big man who can make plays in the tough areas of the ice. His kind of knock since he's been 14, 15 years old has been his average foot speed. But as he's continued to grow and mature as a hockey player, I think he continues to impress me whenever I've watched him. And I think, you know, from what I saw last year, I thought he looked really good. I thought he looked a lot better than his numbers suggested. You know, should they play next season? And I think there's a decent chance they're at least going to try to play next season. I think he could be one of the best players in college hockey. I think he's a great prospect.
Yeah, I agree. I love his game and it, you know, and the way he came about in the second half of the year. Question now I have for you is, when you look at guys and when you rate guys and when And when you've seen, you know, like looking at last year's draft, for example, was there a guy or is there a player, I should ask, that you look at and say, boy, he would fit good with this organization, but maybe not so good with another organization?
I'm not really sure. I would look at it in that way. I know certain organizations value different attributes differently. You can go around the league and you can see this team values this team values that. But I think Matt Boldy, for example, would play very well on 31 NHL teams.
All right, let's move on to the NHL draft a little bit, Corey. And we're talking with Corey Pronman, who is the NHL prospects writer for The Athletic. The Wild have the number 9 pick, so I kind of want you to just give us your tiers for the top 10. Because my impressions are, from reading your stuff, that maybe Lafreniere is on a tier by himself, and then you got maybe Byfield and the German kid Stutzel on a tier. And then it almost seems like from like 4 to 10, it's just kind of uniform and the same. And do you agree with that, or how would you kind of tier that top 10 out?
Yeah, based on my understanding of how the scouting industry is, and I think every team is going to have some mild differences, but I think if you kind of want like a rough consensus of how the industry kind of sees it, it would be Lafreniere, the Rimouski winger by himself, and then Quinton Byfield and Tim Stutzel in a tier together in 2 to 3. And then you kind of have like this 4 to 11 range, which would include the OHL forwards, Cole Perfetti, Marco Rossi, Jack Quinn, the two defensemen, Jamie Drysdale and Jake Sanderson, the two Swedish wingers and Alexander Holtz and Lucas Raymond, and the Russian goalie Yaroslav Askarov. You know, I probably wouldn't have Quinn in that group if it was just my choice, but I think the rest of those guys and you know are reasonably right in that range. You know, I go back and forth on Sanderson, but I do think there's some really good arguments for him to go in the top 10 as well.
So, you know, the Minnesota Wild historically have been desperate for the center position. They've really never had a true number one center, and they're really in a tough spot right now with Mikko Koivu retiring, Eric Staal 1 year away from free agency, and they really don't have, other than Kovanov, who Pat mentioned earlier, who I don't know, even think we're convinced of. I mean, they got nothing coming up from a center standpoint. Yeah. So let's specifically look at the centers. You know, my assumption is Byfield's not going to be there at number 9. What are the chances that you know, Rossi and Perfetti could drop to number 9, and what do you think of them overall?
I think both of them are great players. I think both guys, I think, I don't know if I'm thinking they're going to 100% be first-line centers in the National Hockey League. I think when it comes to who's center versus a wing, sometimes it's in the eye of the beholder, a little bit in terms of what the organization wants out of a center. But I do think both of them could possibly be that kind of player. In terms of if they can both be there at 9, I think it's possible either of them gets there. I don't think it's a lock either of them gets there. I think they're both really highly valued players. And I think it really depends on how quickly those two defensemen, Jamie Drysdale and Jake Sanderson, go. But I think it's definitely possible either of them could be there. And I think what's going to be interesting is if they go, if Rossi and Perfetti are gone before 9, I don't really think there's a guy left in that range who makes sense on value to use the 9 pick. Either if you really want the center, and I know Bill Guerin has talked about this before, you could trade down if you want. But you know, you're right. Can you go kind of look at the organization? Like, I like Havanov a lot, but are you banking on that guy to be the top line center of the future? I don't know. Maybe Matt Boldy could be that. I know they experimented with that at BC, and we can see if that can work in the pro game. It's a bit of a dilemma, and one I'm not sure I have a clear answer to for the Wild.
All right, before we get back to Corey, I just want to let everyone know about SodaStick.com. Go to SodaStick.com to get your original Minnesota sports-inspired goods. If you haven't seen the stuff yet, you got to check it out. One of my favorite designs, I'm wearing it right now, is the Met hat. All of their apparel is screen-printed here in Minnesota on super soft, super comfy shirts and hoodies. You will love it. And we're going to hook you up with free shipping on your next order. Use the code KFAN for free shipping. That is SodaStick.com, original Minnesota sports-inspired goods, code KFAN for free shipping. Go ahead, Pat.
Corey, you know, the NHL in the draft is so much different than the NBA, the NFL, in terms of number one picks making an impact, and for that matter, making the team right away. That being said, from all reports, this is a pretty deep draft. How many guys do you, if you were to guess, how many guys in the top 10, top 15 have a legit shot at making a NHL team next year?
Well, that's a mildly complicated question for me. I think in terms of the North Americans, I think Byfield and Lafreniere will. I mean, Lafreniere, I think will 100% be on the Rangers next season should they keep the first overall pick. And I think Byfield has an extremely strong chance to make it. The issue is with the Europeans, like a Tim Stutzel or Alexander Holtz. Holtz has looked amazing in preseason, for example, for the SHL. They can't sign until after their season is over due to the delayed start to the NHL this season. They're not allowed to sign NHL contracts after they get drafted in October. So while I think Tim Stutzel and even possibly Alexander Holtz could be ready, they will have to wait until after their European seasons are over before they can sign.
Let's talk about the Russian goalie, the Askarov kid, because there was a report that the Wild might be interested in him at number 9, which I don't know if that's legit or they're just hoping someone's going to jump up in front of them and draft the goaltender so they can have maybe a center drop to him. I'm not sure. But one, usually goalies don't go that high. So how do you project him as an NHL goalie? And two, what do you think of Kaapo Kähkönen, who had a really good season with the Iowa Wild? Does he project to be where do you project him in the NHL someday?
Yeah, I think – I mean, I know numerous teams that have Askarov in the top 10, so I don't know where the Wild have him particularly, but it wouldn't shock me if he was in that discussion. I mean, I think he should be in that discussion. I think he's a special goalie from all the goalies I've seen over the years. At 17, I think he stood out in some pretty unique ways. Dynamic athlete, tremendous hockey sense. He just produces wherever he goes and just it looks extremely impressive as a very young 17-year-old versus men. Last season, I think he's an amazing prospect. If he doesn't go at 9 to Minnesota, I don't think he's going to last much longer. In terms of him versus Kähkönen, I think there's a pretty clear discrepancy there. I think Kaapo Kähkönen's a good player, but I mean, I think he's a really smart and steady goaltender. He lacks those kind of elite athletic attributes that Askarov have. Askarov's like 6'3"-ish, goalie with truly elite quickness. I think Kähkönen's like a 6'1.5", 6'2" goalie with slightly above average quickness. I think there's a pretty large discrepancy there in terms of their athletic abilities projected to the NHL. I think Kähkönen, you're kind of hoping, will be a backup. I think Askarov is the kind of guy you're hoping is going to be like a legit number one top 10 goalie in the NHL. If you're going to use a high pick on that guy, that's the hope there, essentially. But that said, when let's compare him to, say, Vasilevskiy. When Tampa took Vasilevskiy at 20, he also was an incredible prospect, elite goalie prospect, one of the best I've ever seen. And it took until he was like 21, 22 to become the player he is right now. When you're taking goalies, you're going to be in for the long haul. And Askarov's already signed overseas for another 2 more years. So that's going to be part of the investment there.
And that's part of the problem that Minnesota has is that, they've got to figure out the goalie position. They've got to figure out their top six. Certainly good that Kaprizov is going to be part of that next year. But Minnesota, Brandon and I have discussed this a ton of times. They seem to be saddled with a lot of bottom six, if you will, that have had to play top six roles. And so, they're going to have to determine and make some bold moves and move a defenseman like Dumba or Brodin to shore up their top six.
I think determine is the good word there to use, Pat. I think you look at this organization right now, you look at the age of the top players in the organization, you compare it to the prospect pool and the draft capital they have. I think the new manager there needs to make some pretty significant decisions on what the direction of this franchise is. Is this a team that's trying to win, or is this a team that needs to take a step back and add young assets? They had that, many years ago, they had that really great young core coming out with Granlund and Brodin and Dumba and Zucker and that group made some runs. It didn't work, you know, unfortunately. And now I think you've got to take a step back and wonder, you know, do we need to retool this?
Corey, I must say, I don't know how you remember all these guys' names. I struggle just with the Wild prospects alone, and you got to do this with 32 teams and NHL draft prospects. You do an unbelievable job. Really, thank you for joining the podcast today.
Yep, sure thing. Thank you.
Thanks,
all right, Corey Pronman, the NHL prospects writer for The Athletic, and TheAthletic.com does absolutely phenomenal work. And also another company that does phenomenal work, Pat, that would be Culturama, one of our sponsors here on Beyond the Pod.
Yes, having trouble getting brand recognition, media exposure, or promotion? Looking to find a specialized tournament or event management services? At Culturama, they cultivate, collaborate, and connect you to new business strategies to maximize your organization's publicity through strategic brand development, multimedia creation, social media design, sponsorship promotion, targeted marketing plans, or event management services. With over 20 years of experience, Culturama creative teams will guide you through a comprehensive plan to reach your brand goals. Follow, like, and subscribe to Culturama Hockey today and learn how to obtain a PR plan.
All right, Pat. Obviously, I've seen about 1/100th of all the players that Corey Pronman is talking about, but I've done a little bit of research on the top 10 of the NHL draft, you know, just watching some video and reading up on some things. But am I watching these guys in like full game settings where you can get all the information on them? No, I'm not. I'm kind of getting really just kind of the best of the best. That being said, from what I've seen, I am in love with Marco Rossi, who's he's a center, played for the Ottawa 67s. And he could go, as Corey mentioned, kind of anywhere from all the way up to 4. Maybe he drops to the Wild at 9. And you know, maybe the one knock on him is just his size, which drives me crazy that even in 2020, we're still worried about guys that are smaller. And specifically, he's not the fastest guy in the world for his size. And I'm sure Wild fans cringe when they hear that because we've had smaller guys that aren't the speediest in the world. But from everything I've seen from him, and you know, Pat, I love me smart hockey players.
Yeah,
he's got elite hockey IQ. He's super creative. He's electric, and even for his size, he's very strong on his skates. He's really good on his edges. So as of right now, and I have a chance to change my mind here before the draft as I do more research and watch these guys a little bit more, but I would really love for them to find a way to get this guy as a center.
I haven't seen enough of him, so I can't really comment too much about him. But your whole point makes sense. And, you know, I think what this team – needs to do, and I think they know it. They know what they need. They know where they need help. You know, we can talk about it until we're blue in the face. You know, they've got to improve their top six. It, you know, and the question will come down, you know, if he's still available at 9 and that's the guy they want, then you know, hold on to that pick. If there's a chance to make a bigger deal that involves the number one pick that you can get some more assets, and maybe you have to give up some. We all know you have to give up some assets to get assets, right? And so I'm sure Bill Guerin and his staff are going through all of the different scenarios, whether this player is going to be available, what could we acquire, who do we have to maybe let go of? Are we, you know, where do we, and Corey brought up a good point, where does this organization feel they are at? Do they feel like they have to maybe step back, maybe take the goaltender and you know, look for him to be their future if they feel that that is really going to be the cornerstone of their organization? Or, you know, do they get creative enough to make a deal and improve that top six and you know, maybe find a goalie and try to, you know, maybe they don't think they're that far away. So a lot is going on right now with the Minnesota Wild in terms of you know, their thought process.
Well, to my point that I had on an earlier podcast, Pat, is you're at number 9. So yep. To move up to 6 or 7 isn't going to take a ton. You don't have to give up to do
right.
That. So,
right.
So if you have your guy you identify, you know, jump up those 2 or 3 spots and go get that guy. You know, after Perfetti and Rossi are gone, there are a bunch of centers, but I'm not really sure if you know, they're going to be an interesting quandary if those two are off the board, Pat, because you're going to have the Russian goalie who, as you just heard from Corey, thinks he might, you know, superstar potential out of your goaltender. There's also a defenseman named Jamie Drysdale from Erie who I would tell you, Pat, to go watch this guy's highlights because his skating ability is unbelievable. Now, like I said, I'm not watching him in game situations, and that's important for a defenseman to be able to watch all the little things, but he's an unbelievable skater. So I just find it interesting that they make it to the point where, hey, we have to draft this defenseman, or we might have to draft this goalie, which isn't the center position we want. But if those guys are a tier above the next group of centers, then you might just have to go that route.
Well, you might have to, and that will all be possibly, hopefully, Bill Guerin will answer some of the questions that he has about his team before the draft. Okay. And if a guy like that Drysdale is there and you've already maybe acquired a centerman or a goaltender or, you know, a combination of some of that. And then like you and I like to do is you take the best player that is available because you may not need him next year or you think he's going to be that player that is going to be there, you know, for another 10 years with the organization.
Well, and Pat, you know, from a defenseman standpoint, I think we think right now that the organization's strength is their defenseman, but yep. Let's be honest, you trade one of those top four away, which sounds like they are shopping Matt Dumba. I wouldn't be surprised if Jonas Brodin is in discussions given that he's due for a contract. So once you take one of those two out and Brendan Minnell is gone, Kalen Addison still might be a year or two away. You know, they're maybe not as strong a defense if you trade one of those because you might have to just because you could lose one in the expansion draft next year to Seattle.
Well, that's what you got to determine, right? And listen, you know, as much as I love our defensemen and, you know, I would love to keep all of them. The need is definitely forwards. It definitely, if they're going to make a move, and we've seen you watch Tampa, you watch Vegas, you know, they've got four lines that are deep and that all can score and that can all, you know, they bring an element to their teams that, and that's why they are where they are. And so, you know, it's going to come down to, you know, what Billy Guerin wants to address first. And that being said, you know, there's some guys available. There's going to be a lot of goaltenders available via trade. And, you know, the rumor, you know, the latest rumor, and you know how rumors are, but the Nylander from Toronto is going to get moved. You know, he's a centerman. Matt Dumba's been mentioned there. Matt Dumba's been mentioned with Montreal in getting Max Domi. I don't know what people feel about him, but, you know, he's a 70-point guy. He plays with a little grit, not the biggest guy in the world, skates well. You know, does he fit a number one or two slot on your team? You know, if you get one of those guys, then that opens up a spot where, hey, maybe we need to draft a defenseman based on, you know, just what you said. So a lot of questions you know, Minnesota certainly is pondering right now.
You mentioned the Tampa Bay Lightning. How about the whooping they put on the New York Islanders last night? An Islanders team that's, you know, obviously a good structurally defensive team, thanks to their head coach, Barry Trotz. And they did it without Steven Stamkos in the lineup.
Yeah, you know, very interesting. You know, I heard a lot of commentary on Tampa. And, you know, they lost in the first round last year to Columbus. Kind of got, I don't want to say got beat up, but they, you know, they got punched in the face a little bit. You know, Columbus was just on them and dogged them and frustrated them. And they, you know, they looked at their team and they said, you know what, we need to get a little grittier on our third line. So they bring Maroon in and they get Yanni Gord, you know, playing at a different level and kind of gave those guys an assignment to just go and battle and you know, turn the tide for our team if we're down. And, you know, it's played out perfectly for them. And in the goaltending that they're getting, yeah, they're so good up front. It's ridiculous. And last night they put on a show.
All right, a couple hashtag PridePat questions to close it here. If you ever want to ask a question to Pat Micheletti on Twitter, you just use the hashtag PryPat. We'll begin with Chris at Assist, who is a very loyal listener and viewer of this podcast. We appreciate Derek for doing that. And this was actually from a couple weeks ago. He says, Alaska Anchorage announced it is dissolving their hockey program. Are there any other college hockey programs in jeopardy?
Well, you hear rumblings. You take teams like a Lake Superior State, like a Northern Michigan, a lot of schools that are on the smaller side who do not get revenue from, let's say, who do not have a Division I college football program that generally is the fuel for a lot of the programs on the bigger campuses, right? And so I wonder and I worry that some of these could be in trouble. Nothing factually. I'm just speculating and guessing and, talking to some people that they are worried about it. And, I hope it doesn't happen. And hopefully we'll get through this virus and get everything back and running. But there's got to be some concern, no doubt.
Forgive me for my ignorance here, Pat, and this might be a really dumb question, but where are we at with Illinois becoming a Division I hockey team and joining the Big Ten?
Well, I thought they were going to be admitted and, get the ball rolling, but, you're right. I have not heard anything since January, February in terms of where they're at. Everything's probably put on hold now. You see colleges that are estimating losses of anywhere from 30 million to 100 million. And unless you have private backing for a program like Illinois, I think it's going to be delayed a year or two for sure.
At C. Hansen 97 says, what's your thoughts on the NHL ever doing what college does and have an extra skater that can be a forward or a defenseman? Hashtag PryPad.
Meaning having another guy on the bench, an extra?
Yeah.
Okay. That would be wonderful. I think every team would love to do that, but here's the problem. That's paying another salary. And whether that be at the minimum, a league minimum of $750, they could pay that half of that for a guy to stay in the minors. And so I think it all comes down to economics on something like that. I'm sure every team would love to have a couple extra bodies around, A, to push other players, and B, just to give a guy a rest, a night where a team plays, three games in 5 nights or 6 nights, whatever the case. Or you get to that part of the season where guys get a little tired and you want to rest one of your guys. But, I probably don't see it happening.
Just 18 skaters is enough. They don't need more than 18. Yeah. They have healthy scratches. So if someone's, too tired, you can put in one of your healthy scratches the next. They don't need another guy on the bench. And we kind of touched on this a little bit, Pat, but at Chuck Sherman says, with the current expansion scenario, wouldn't the Wild be better off trading one of their D for draft picks or prospects?
Well, that goes into the point that we were talking about. Where do they think they are at? If you're going to trade one of your D for a prospect, well, I'm not so sure. Then what you're saying is, okay, we know we're not good enough to make a run, or we're not going to make a run next year. But if you're trading a Matt Dumba or Jonas Brodin, you better get a guy back in return that is going to play, that's going to be in your lineup, and not only be in your lineup, but have a significant impact on your lineup, or else I do not trade any of those players.
Well, last topic then before we go then, Pat, because let's talk about the overall organizational view here for the Minnesota Wild, because, they've made the playoffs X amount of times in X amount of years now, but really have not shown that they can make that next jump up. Do you view this as a, hey, let's try to fix this so we can be a playoff team and contender next year? Or are you taking the 3-year view here? Because that changes the way you do the offseason, right? I mean, a guy like Zach Parise, you might try to unload as opposed to having him next year. I feel like they've been trying to play win now just because of the Parise and Suter contracts, but you've got some young guys now with Kaprizov and Fiala, and you still have defensemen that are young enough that you can play this 2-3 years out and play for, you know, let's maybe trade a Brodin or a Dumba and just try to get even another first round pick and something more.
Well, I'm of the ilk of, you know, the future is who knows, right? You can plan that, but I'm more of a guy that, hey, get these to try to make a run. Now, if I'm looking at this, if I'm the manager of the Minnesota Wild, which I'm not, and nor are you, but I look at it and I see, where do they need help? Okay, we know they need top six help. Top six, no question. They need to add one or two guys in their top six. I look at Iowa and I see two guys that might have an impact going forward with the Minnesota Wild. And that's the goaltender, Kakinen, and Addison, the defenseman, who may or may, who knows when he's going to be ready, maybe a year, maybe 2 years, but he is an NHL guy. The rest of the players are if they are going to make Minnesota, it's going to be where in that third and fourth line role.
Yeah.
Nico Sturm is probably going to make the team, but he's not a top six guy. He you know, maybe someday, but he'd really have to jump ahead on his offensive development to get there. Okay, so we look at Minnesota's defense, right? Their top four is good as you can get. Now, can you find a bigger defenseman that maybe doesn't have the skill of a Dumba and Brodin, but can play a nice role for you back there and eat up minutes and not be a liability for you? I think you can do that. Do they have the ability to go out and sign a free agent goaltender and or get in a trade? Yes. So my point is, if you do get another goaltender and you solidify that, and if you trade Dumba and or Brodin and get a top flight forward in there, all of a sudden you've got a team that can compete. And so I don't think they're that far away. It's just a matter of which way they want to go.
Pat, appreciate your time as always. We'll talk to you next week on Beyond the Pod, which is brought to you by Soda Stick and Culturama.
Thanks, Brandon. Have a great week.
All right. He's Pat Micheletti. I'm Brandon Molesky. Thank you so much for listening to us on the Beyond the Pod podcast on the iHeartRadio app and wherever you get your podcasts, or watching us on the KFN YouTube channel. We'll talk to you next week right here on Beyond the Pod.